If you would turn with me in your scriptures to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 25. Colossians 3, would you give ear to the reading of God's Word? Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, God the Father, through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, but to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And there is no favoritism. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we know that had it been possible that perfection could have come through the law, Christ would not have needed to come. But he did need to come. The former regulation was set aside because it was weak and useless. And we now have a better hope by which we can draw close to God. That hope is written for us in the new covenant. Our prayer this morning is that you will give us ears to hear and hearts to understand these wonderful words of eternal life. Guide everyone here to Jesus Christ and this glorious gift of life he has given through his word. We ask this in his name. Amen. In chapter 2, Paul talked about the Old Testament ceremonies and the many regulations that went with those rituals. Anytime we talk about such things, we have to consider how they affect our lives today in the church. What kind of effect do they have on Christian life? We see them as signs or as types which point us forward toward Christ Jesus. They are there to show the unregenerate their need of a Savior. They could save no one. Therefore, we understand the great need for the gospel, because it alone carries the message of salvation. We must also understand Christian sacraments are different. They are more effectual than these Old Testament ceremonies. They are not as eschatological in nature. They are more Christological. In other words, our sacraments point us to what Christ did for us, not so much our need of him. You're already to believe in him. You're already to know your need of him before you to participate in the sacrament. These sacraments have their place in our worship, but they definitely are not a means of our salvation. Our salvation comes to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone. He is to be the center of our worship. As we come to chapter 3, we find the discussion turning to a review of the place of the physical body in Christian life. We find Christ's ascension being spoken of in a powerful way. Christ goes before us so he might beckon us to follow where he leads. This idea of Christ's ascension is a central part of the theology of the Reformers. You must understand where Jesus is today and what he is doing for you. Up to this point, we have seen in this letter how matters of faith are extremely important. In chapter 3, we will consider things that concern your life and the various conditions that can be a part of your life experience as you apply faith to your everyday routine. The things that stand out in this is the need you have to make sure your focus in life is right. That faith is the source of how you live. This is where it really gets hard for all men. The important things for consideration in the hearts and minds of Christians are what Paul calls here heavenly things, things governed by faith. To have assurance of eternal things in your heart, to show to others a reflection of God's love in your life, you have to know, you have to believe some very heavenly things. These heavenly things begin with the resurrection of your Lord. If you believe everything the Scripture teaches about God and about Christ, and then you turn around and deny that Jesus was raised from the dead, then you're in grave trouble. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. It's through Christ's resurrection that you can look to heaven and be filled with hope. The ceremonies of the Old Testament were all pointing the Jewish people to this one person, to the Messiah, the one who was coming, the one who would, through his life, death, and resurrection, defeat the works of Satan. He would set men free of the rules and regulations of this world. He would open for them their understanding of the Father in heaven. He would give them everything they needed in order to be focused on heavenly things in this life. He would build them up in faith. But, as we have seen, men on their own could not readily grasp what all these things meant. Jesus completed everything needed to save the souls of his people. He prepared the way for the believers to come into the presence of the Father. That way is opened through him. It is open, and everyone who will listen to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ will find that way. They will have their hearts renewed, their spirits enriched, and their lives filled with the Holy Spirit. Through this, believers will come to see that the only things of value in this life are the heavenly things given through this glorious gospel. It is through faith and faith alone that you can hear and believe this wonderful message of salvation. So, let us turn to this third chapter of Colossians. Our text will be verses 1 through 4. We shall learn about the duty of heavenly meditations. We will begin with a look at how you're to focus on these things. Second, we shall discuss what your duty is. Third, we will consider the foundation upon which all of this is grounded. Last, we shall study the reward that comes from being heavenly focused. Paul begins this chapter with these words. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Now this keeps alive his thoughts in Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13, where he declares you were raised with Christ and you were made alive in him. He also points out in Colossians 2:20, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world. Remember, the Colossians, at least some of them, were in grave danger of being drawn back into the paganism from which they had escaped. Paul has effectively shown that there was no material cure for a spiritual illness. There is no way that neglect of this body can ever solve a spiritual problem. The world has absolutely no help for spiritual problems. Its help will only aggravate the problem. The person who has been saved, the person who has been made a citizen of heaven, can never gain any kind of satisfaction from worldly remedies. I think one of the deceptions going around today is that Christians can take the ways and methods of the world to accomplish spiritual cures. It will not happen. The civil rights movement used worldly methods to make some gains in the 60s, but it did nothing to improve the spiritual condition of the black community. Instead, it made it a lot worse. It won them a lot of government help that in the end destroyed the black family and left them very vulnerable to social sins. The black community today is overrun with violence, and they refuse to even face it. The violence in inner cities is nearly all black on black and mostly over drugs. What a tragedy. Look at the early fight the church put up against abortion. They tried to use the methods of the civil rights movement with boycotts, protests, sit-ins, and such. Did it work? I can't see where it accomplished anything. Just look at the Planned Parenthood debacle today. Show me one place in the Scripture where God's people were ever called to boycott something. Where does Paul ever ask for a demonstration against the Roman government? And please remember, the abortion was prevalent in Paul's day, in the Roman day, just as much as it is in ours. There was more discrimination in his day than we can ever even begin to imagine. They sold people outright on the street. Does Paul call on Christians to fight against such evil in a worldly manner? I haven't found such admonitions. What does Paul say is the remedy to these evils? Christ and Christ alone is the answer. Christ is the answer in all the fullness of his love and power. If you want answers to the problems of this world, do what Paul says. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Paul did exactly that. He preached Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead to anyone who would listen. The sins of the world need the saving balm of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As believers, you need to be carrying this message to the lost world in which you live. This is the only message that can bring hope to the life of the hearts of dead people. Why would you ever consider using the world's methods when you have the greatest tools ever to solve problems? Take your concerns before the Father in heaven through prayer. Do you not believe that in the power of such prayer? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You also have the Word of God. And you can focus it on problems by speaking to others its truth and love. If you want to have an effect on the world in which God has placed you, then you need to go forth from this place and be salt and light. Take that bushel that you used to hide under and throw it away and let your light shine. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then why do you want to try and drink from a broken cistern when you have the very fountain of eternal life right before you? You have Jesus Christ, who has been raised and is sitting at the Father's right hand. Surrender yourself to Jesus as your Savior. Take your faith, hold to it in everything you do. Make Christ the focus of your life and how you live. My friends, you should know without a doubt, Jesus Christ has both the right and the power to give you whatever gift you need to accomplish his purpose through your life. Paul declares he is seated at the right hand of God. as a child of God, when you come to His throne with a concern, you can be sure it will be considered and completely taken care of because Jesus Christ is there to intercede for you. Now, the one thing you cannot do is tell God what timetable He has to use. He will work these things out according to His own will. You just keep it ever before Him. You be importune. Don't give up on your prayer. When you come seeking to obtain these things that are above, you're not chasing unattainable goals. What you're doing is storing up treasures of great worth. You must not be a person that forgets your duty. You must not be drawn back to the ways and means of this world because you aren't seeing the results you want. Remember, you serve the sovereign Lord Almighty, and He will answer your prayers when He knows the time is right. To do this God's way makes you the salt of the earth and the light of this world. The only way this will work is when you place your focus on Jesus Christ as your risen Savior. Place it on Him and keep it on Him. Resist the world's call to look away. Don't allow the world to draw you into doing anything their way. Paul gets really practical as he lays out your duty. Look at verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He's telling you to seek and yes, even to yearn for the things of heaven. It would be very dangerous for a preacher that wanted to help his people know about sin to do nothing but preach on sin. To talk about the various sins and the gory details that go with such sins could very well cause some of them to begin to identify with such sin and thus fall back into it. The preaching of sin is necessary, but it must never be done without forgiveness, repentance, grace, and mercy. Paul was very good at laying out the positive nature of presenting sin. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. These words followed his teaching on love. He says, love has to be sincere. Love means you hate evil, and you want with all of your heart to hold what is good. It is a commitment. It calls for devotion. It calls for a desire to show honor to others. He taught that when someone persecutes you, you should bless them, forgive them, reach out and help them, because you know how lost they really are. You never repay evil for evil. You're to do what is right even in the face of someone else's evil. Now, God calls His children to live in peace with everyone. So don't ever let it be said that you started the evil. It is also taught in Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This verse comes after the apostle has taught on sins such as orgies, drunkenness, sexual debauchery, dissensions, and jealousy, which follow the teaching on loving your brother. The main thing is that love does no harm. He goes on to show that love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus came. He came in love to save people from their sins. Thus it was His love that fulfilled the law and set you free from your sins. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Paul says this just before he teaches on the acts of the sinful nature, which he follows with a discourse on the fruits of the Spirit. It should be clear. You cannot talk about sin unless you're also willing to speak of the Holy Spirit, because only the fruits of the Spirit can replace the lust of the flesh. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. In these verses, Paul has just dealt with a problem between two people, a problem of jealousy. He points out in this discussion, believers need to be always rejoicing in their Lord. It's imperative that your gentleness be on display at all times. Put your trust in God. Take your problems to Him in prayer. Let it be the peace of God that guards your heart and mind. Sin is the problem all men face in this world. And at times those sins can become very harsh and destructive. They come to that point because of the hardness of men's hearts. Jesus Christ came into this world to deal with the hardness of the heart. He came to make it clear the issue of sin begins in the hearts of men. That means the cure for the dead heart is Jesus Christ. The gospel must be declared with boldness before all men, because it is only in this gospel of Jesus Christ that the issue of sin can be resolved. Jesus came to save His people from their sins. He came to give them new hearts, to make them alive. This is your duty. You're to seek and yearn for the things of heaven. It is to be your desire to take the truths of the gospel, for those are the things of heaven that you need to fill your heart. Take these wonderful secrets and make them known in this dying world. You have your focus and your duty, but without a solid foundation, you still rest on slippery ground. Verse 3. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. This is where you find your rest. It stands on the rock on what you must believe about Jesus Christ. This good news cannot be had without faith. Here the apostle makes clear, this life and glory that belongs to Christians is founded in the resurrection of their Lord. Therefore, it is not visible to any without faith. No one in this world, no one can know or perceive this life in Christ with their external eyes and senses. Do not expect anyone who doesn't know and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ to be able to understand your new life in Christ. This is why Paul says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The world doesn't know Him. It will never give Him any glory. They will always act hostile toward Him. They will never be willing to grant Him any place in their lives. They will resent Him having any place in your life. The world doesn't want anything to do with Him. They will always refuse to listen to His law because it conflicts so strongly with their self-imposed law. It goes against their fleshly desires. Therefore, a life that follows Jesus Christ is rightly described as a hidden life before the world, and yes, even before Christians themselves. Christians have this life hidden from their external feelings and sight. But by faith, this life is certain. It is by faith, definite. It is by faith, kept safe. When this earthly life comes to its end, this new life will be fully revealed. When Jesus comes back to take His people home, this life will be made clear to the whole world. You're still in this world. But by faith, you have believed in Jesus Christ as the one sent from God to save your soul. If you have accepted this glorious message of hope, then you are, as Paul declares, dead, and your life is now hidden in Christ Jesus. What does this being dead in Christ really mean? Look at Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Turn over there with me. Romans 6, 6. Romans 6, 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. It means we have been freed from the flesh and the law. Sin no longer has any hold on us because Christ paid the price required for our sins. This is such an important part of our foundation as believers. Yes. Yes, it can be really hard to live your lives in this knowledge. You can't see or hear any of the blessings of this with your external senses. Please get this. Nothing in this world will ever give you hope. It is only by faith that you can know and experience the blessings of this life. Now you need to know that the main way you experience this in your earthly life is generally through negative things. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. What the apostle is saying is that as you go about living your life in Jesus Christ, the world is going to respond in very negative ways. Persecution, hatred, and yes, even martyrdom may be the evidence of your faith. This may be the way you reveal Jesus to others and the way the blessings of God are delivered to you. This is why you need a proper focus and an understanding of your duty as well as a solid foundation. Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Life is not what you have here in the flesh. Life, true life, is life with God. And you cannot have that without faith in Jesus Christ. Christ is the foundation of life, and it is a life that is hidden from the sensual appetites of men. Don't depend on what you see and feel in this world for anything. Christianity is a religion of the ear. It is a faith-centered life. You can only have this life through Christ. And you can only learn about it and live in it through study of God's Word. Jesus said in John 5:24, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Faith is the bridge to life. It's life's foundation. You come by faith. You know your sin and its repulsiveness to God. You see Christ, His perfect life, atoning death, and resurrection victory. You open your heart and by faith accept that you have in principle what is promised in reality. You go forth and live on the foundation of faith. If you focus on Christ, complete your duty for Him, and stay secure on the foundation of faith, you will see the reward of being in Christ. Verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Here is the hope all Christians come to live in. This is your comfort throughout your life here on the earth. You hear about Christ. You take hold of Him by faith. This really is interesting, because it goes against everything you feel from this world. This is exactly the opposite to what the world would advise you to do. Because of this commitment to Christ, you are now in a constant fight with sin. You seem to be subject to every misery and misfortune this world has. You're weak. You really don't feel as much life and joy as you'd like to. You seem to face a lot of death and sorrow. But the Apostle Paul gives some words of reassurance. He tells you not to worry. He gives comfort. He shows where you can seek your life. He reveals how you can take hold of this true life. He declares, when Christ, who is your life, appears. This is the encouragement. He could have said, be comforted. What he means is because you have truly died to this earthly life, you can now renounce this earthly existence. In doing this, you have made the right commitment. You have taken a holy direction. This death means a blessing. It is so because in this death, you obtain a more glorious life. through Christ's death, you have been redeemed from your sins. You no longer fear eternal death. You have been made a part of an eternal life, a life that is imperishable, a life that will be filled to overflowing with glory after glory. The only thing for you to recognize is that this life is only yours in principle as long as you have this old flesh in place. This life is not yours in feeling, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christ is called your life. That life which is not yet manifested in you, but in Him. It is certain. It is assured. There is no way you can lose this life once it is secured by faith. There is no one who can snatch you from the hand of God. You will be kept safe. Your victory in Christ will be preserved. You shall be guarded against the terrors and plagues of evils such as sin, death, and the devil. That is part of the guarantee God gives in His promise of the gospel. Once He begins a good work in you, He will not stop until it is finished. And you're with Him living your new life in His presence. There is no doubt you have all of this in Christ. Therefore, the one thing you lack is the removal of the veil that hides it. That veil is your mortal flesh and blood. Once they're taken away, it will be fully revealed in all of its glory. At that time, every worldly, temporal thing, every sin, as well as death itself, will be no more. Every believer will at that time be filled with pure glory. This is the reward all believers are awaiting. To be in the very presence of their God, their Lord and Savior for all eternity. As one who truly believes in Jesus Christ as the risen Lord, you find comfort in Him and patiently wait on His return, when you shall take up your reward and live together with Him in eternal glory. You do this knowing you have already died to this world through Him. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're called to responsibly consider all of the great and marvelous blessings you receive through your Lord and Savior. But please understand, this in no way means this Christian life will be easy. It will not. It is the hardest life to live in this world. It is hard because it is hidden. Those of the world cannot see the benefits of it. The believer cannot always see the results. It is a life lived by faith. And this faith is not like a leap off into the unknown. God has given in His Word everything you need to know about this life. He tells you, if you make the commitment to follow Jesus Christ, there will be trouble. You will suffer because your Lord suffered. You will be persecuted and hated because they hated and persecuted your Lord. But it also tells you the blessings that will come through it. You will find forgiveness of your sins and relief from your guilt. You will find hope in your Lord and victory over your enemies. There will be a day of great rejoicing because you will be brought into the presence of God Almighty and made a part of the family of heaven for eternity. So come. Come now to Jesus Christ. Come to this life of glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. You have told us, do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Help us, O Lord. Help us to take the words you have given us this day and apply them in our hearts so we can be better disciples. Lead us in our understanding. Grant us courage to hold fast what we have heard, and not to reject any of it because of fear. We need you, Lord. Come to us and help us. We ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.